Blog Talk Radio.
Radio. It's our first show of 2018, and we've got quite a year ahead of us. We've got all sorts of surprises we've made, as some of you might see coming to the website. Lots of changes, getting all of the sites mobile friendly. We have one more new one. The Classified Ads is coming up in a mobile friendly format pretty soon. We had to rebuild it from ground zero forward, and then by March we should have the long-awaited PetGroomer.com app for everybody to download free. There's not quite anything like the PetGroomer.com app in our industry. It's going to make everything just a click away on your smart devices. Pretty cool. Right now, if you're listening to the show live or in the next, about 3 or 4 more weeks, we have the Sweethearts Contest. It's at our message board. And there's trivia, but just coming in and visiting the board, you get a chance to win up to $100 worth of Kinchi shears. And there's going to be 3 winners of that. So the contest is already pretty popular. It's going to run through Valentine's Day. That's why it's the Sweethearts Contest. Fun trivia. You don't even have to play trivia. Just come on in, and every time you just talk on the board, you're entered into the drawing to win Kinchi shears of your choice. We're not telling you which ones. You get a $100 credit, and you can pick what you want. So today, we're our guest. It's going to be your first time, actually, on the show, but a longtime associate in the industry, and I'm going to just give you some of her background here. This is Donna Owens. Donna is an internationally recognized grooming educator, speaker, judge, and the lead instructor for Healthy Spot Styling Academy in Studio City, California. Donna has over 35 years of experience in the pet industry, and she is a USA Groom Team Gold Medalist alumni and an IPG Certified Master Groomer. Donna has won over 60 grooming awards during her competitive grooming career and was nominated for the Cardinal Crystal Achievement Award. She was featured on the cover of Groomer to Groomer magazine and has been a featured writer. Donna bred, trained, and handled champion German wire-haired pointers and has shown poodles in the AKC confirmation ring. Donna earned a teaching credential from the University of San Diego and is a health science major. She's taught animal science, pet first aid and CPR, pet business management, and grooming for over 17 years. She was the former teacher of the Hacienda La Puente Adult Education Program, which was awarded a Program of Excellence in 2006. In 2009, Donna earned an accommodation from the California Board of Education for her development of a model program, and during her tenure, she received the Teacher of the Year Award. Donna's vast knowledge of the pet industry and animal sciences, combined with her passion for teaching, inspire students to excel in the art of grooming. So I am going to open her line. Donna, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good afternoon, Stephen. Great to talk to you again.
Boy, in the beginning of PetGroomer.com, you were around, and look, 20 years later, you're on the radio show.
That's, I know, it's incredible.
Yeah, that's great. So how are things in California today?
Well, it's beautiful weather here. I feel kind of bad saying that because I know a lot of people are not as fortunate to live in California and have been braving through the cold weather and snow and treacherous conditions back east. But here in Southern California, where I'm at right now, it's about probably 75 and sunny. So we're blessed and fortunate for that.
Yes, you are. Well, let's get started here, and I'm going to let you tell us, how did you get into the grooming industry?
Well, I got into the grooming industry kind of not really intending to get into the grooming industry at all. I was 15, and school had just let out for the summer, and I had a part-time sandwich job that came to an end. I was at a sandwich shop, a local one, near my home. It happened to come to an end because the owner had her daughter come back from college. So I was bored at home, and my mom happened to own a really large samoyed, and he was really hairy. So out of boredom, I decided to bathe and dry him in the backyard. And while I was doing that, I noticed all these big tufts of coat coming out of them. So I just brushed and combed, and it must have taken me 4 or 5 hours using a garden hose and getting all this coat out. I noticed that he was molting almost like what I had seen on deer or elk or buffalo. So at that time, I didn't really know what it was other than I thought, wow, he looks like he's molting. So I just kept brushing and combing, and I got it all out. And then when I was all finished and he was dry, and I brought him in the house and showed my mom, she was like, oh, my gosh, I've never seen him look this good. And she said, you know, you should go find a job at a pet store or a grooming place. And I was like, what? So she said that normally she paid the last time he was professionally groomed, which was a year prior because she only did it once a year because it was expensive. She paid $80. And so she said, I'm going to go find you a job, which that just goes to show you how much I must have been driving her crazy, because most moms don't go out and start applying for jobs for you, which is what she did. And she ended up getting me a couple of interviews, and one of the interviews happened to be at this local pet store, and they had a little grooming room in the back of the pet store, which was very common back then, and she got the owner to agree to give me an interview with the head groomer, and that the head groomer would teach me how to groom. So I showed up, and the head groomer, I could tell that the pet owner didn't really discuss the agreement he had with my mother with the head groomer. When he went back there and said, oh, this is Donna. And, of course, again, I was like a 15-year-old kid. And she's here because I promised her mom that you would teach her how to groom. And I could tell from her reaction that was not in her plans or her idea. So he didn't give her really a choice. So when she had me come back, she said, all right, well, sit down. And she was from the South, so she had that Southern accent, which she had a special way of talking to you. And she sat me down, and then she pulled the poodle out of a kennel, and it was like a toy poodle. And she started shaving his feet, and she says, I want you to pay attention. And she went over, as she was showing me how to shave the feet, she was telling me all the precautions and about being careful for the webbing. She started telling me about the joints of the foot. So she was a really good teacher, and she gave me all the particulars and so forth. And then she said, okay, I'm going to give you a poodle, and you're going to do the same thing I did, and if you can do it perfect, I'll train you. And if you cannot, then you need to hit the road. So I was one of those kids that always, you know, after watching something, was pretty good at, you know, following instructions and replicating it. So I got the other little poodle, and I began shaving the feet, and it took me probably 45 minutes, but when I was finished, I showed her, and I had followed all her instructions and the safety precautions and so forth, and when I got done, she said, you know what, you did it almost perfect. It wasn't perfect, but it was almost perfect. So she said, guess what, we're going to hire you and I'll train you. And that's how basically it got started, and that's when I entered the grooming industry. And, you know, looking back now, or, well, actually, I didn't have to wait till I was this age to look back, but a few years later, I realized how lucky and fortunate I was that, you know, this just fell into my lap, or my mom pushed me in this direction, because this lady, her name was Sue, she happened to show Irish Setters, and she also was an obedience trainer, and she did field trials, and so I was really fortunate. And then there was other gals in the salon as well, and they, one showed Aussies, one showed Bouviers. In fact, she was the president of the Bouvier Club back then. She's really well known in the Bouvier world. Her name was Judy Higgins. And they all took me under their wing like I was their daughter, and dragged me to dog shows, and you know, taught me good work ethic and working hard. And I was just so embraced by them. And they just taught me in such a positive way that I feel very, very fortunate that I was so lucky to have gotten into this pet store at that time, because it's not always, not everyone is as fortunate to have such great mentors. So they gave me the wonderful foundation skills, and always inspired me to continue learning, continue evolving, continue educating yourself. And that's what keeps you passionate about what you do. And so that always has stuck with me. So it's kept me really passionate and loving the grooming and grooming industry as a whole.
So how long have you been in grooming now?
Well, that when I went into that pet store, it was 1977. I usually put 35 years experience, because after that, I don't really want to count any longer. But that was back in 1977. So, you know, back then in 77, it was very normal, the industry, to learn under apprenticeship. A grooming school was virtually unheard of. There were a couple, but that's not how most people learned the art of grooming. It was really apprenticeship, much like, you know, tattoo artists and some of those trades. That's basically how you learned. And, you know, the ones like me that were fortunate to have such good mentors and trainers, and, you know, had a great foundation to start with, you know, as they learned. And in 77, the dogs, as far as what's popular with the consumer, has changed since then. And in 77, most people had poodles that had pattern clips, which were like Sweetheart and Town and Country and Dutch. And it was just normal that you learned how to set those correctly. The dog's confirmation, in this salon anyway, that's why they drugged me to dog shows. They made me learn all the breeds. They taught me confirmation. They taught me handling. They taught me dog training and everything. So, again, I was just so, so fortunate. But also the clientele, being that it was, in the 70s, people that owned Maltese owned Maltese that looked like show dogs. Same with the Shih Tzus. So you had to learn to work with the drop code and part it correctly and the art of tying the top knots up and that isn't done as much. There's not as many consumers that get those kind of traditional breed styling or breed grooming on their dogs quite so much anymore, at least on the coastal type states, I think. And in addition to that, of course, we also had those clients that did have Shih Tzus and Maltese that they did get clipped down, but those were more rare. But you still got that training. You still learned those skills. But I feel very fortunate that I was in the decade, so to speak, that your foundation skills was to learn the breed clips and to understand, which dogs were the parted breeds and the double coats and so forth. But also once in a while getting rescues or those clients that just didn't have time to maintain the dog in a breed style, the personality trends as well.
Exactly. All right. Well, now how did you end up going into competition grooming and getting even on Groom Team USA?
That's one of the people that taught me was really good with poodles, scissoring poodles, and again, I was so fortunate. And she ended up around 1985 or 86. She entered a contest, and she had since moved on into advertising and wasn't grooming any longer. But when she came back to, and at this time I was at a different salon, but her mother was. Who taught me everything I know about life and grooming and children rearing and all of that, was also still with me. We were both at this other salon because the pet store closed. And she came back, and she had entered a contest. And by then, it was, 10 years since, or not really 10, maybe 5 years since she had seen me groom. And she said, "Wow, you scissor so fast. I've never seen anyone scissor so fast." And I had a huge poodle clientele, a lot of standard poodles, a lot of show Bouviers. And she said, "You should compete. There's a show." And back then it was WWPIA, which is what everyone calls Super Zoo nowadays, or WPA. And she said, "You should compete because you're really fast." And I had no idea what grooming competitions were. So they said, the next time the WWPIA puts on a contest, we're going to enter you. So they entered me in a contest in, 1987. And I was really, they strategically entered my classes because I had a natural forte of scissoring very precisely and very fast with poodles. And I ended up going in and winning best all around. Back then, they only had two divisions. It was B division and A division, which were like the experts and the groom team people. And B division was like the people that had never competed, but you could have groomed for many, many years. You just weren't a seasoned competitor. And I ended up, winning the biggest accolade for 1987 back then. And I became hooked on this competition thing. And so I competed in 88 again. And there was a couple of local shows. The local California Groomers Association back then had two shows a year. And they were quite small compared to the big shows that you see today. But I did those and did really well. I always got critiques from the judges. I looked at the other people that were placing over me and kind of looked at how they did things as far as looking at their dogs getting pictures when I, when I was in the class and maybe I didn't place, to see kind of what they were doing and how they balanced their dogs and things like that. And then I would just take that knowledge and practice a lot in the salon to get better and better. And then I took a break in 89. I stopped competing because I had a baby. And then in 90, I stopped competing because I had a baby. And I didn't know anything about Dream Team. I just knew, oh, there's these three competitions in California that you can do. When I came back into the competitive ring in 91, I went to the Super Zoo again in 91, and it was huge. There was probably 45 competitors in the A division, and I watched, and I was just blown away at the talent of the groomers and how beautiful and how fast they scissored. And back then, you brought in a lot of coats. Your dog had 3 months of coat, and they were giant hairy bushes, and when they got done, they were immaculate. And as I was going around watching the A division, because they competed separately from us, I was hearing people going, oh, she's on U.S. Green Team. And then I'd walk by another area and someone else would go, oh, that's Romaine Michelle. She's on the U.S. Groom Team. And then I walked a little further, and someone's like, ooh, that's Liz Paul. She's on U.S. Groom Team. So then that's when I was like, Groom Team? What's this U.S. Groom Team thing that everyone's talking about? So then I did research, and I was very inspired by these women, and marveled at their expertise, at their ring presence, their knowledge, and I was like, I want to get on Groom Team. I want to be like them, and this is a goal I'm going to set for myself, and I'm going to work really hard as much as I can, learn as much as I can from judges, and then find the experts in my area and find out about if they give private lessons. And so that's basically what I did, and then in 92, by then I was in the A division, and I got in A division in 88, that's right, because 87 I won best all around at Super Zoo, and then in 88 I was in the higher division, and I won best all around again, so I won best all around back to back. But in a higher division at that time. But at any rate, in the early 90s is when I was, like, really aspiring to be on Groom Team. So I suggest to anyone who has those ambitions that it's a great positive thing to always, you know, want to be the best in your craft. It keeps you passionate about what you do. It keeps you passionate about continually educating yourself and evolving and being just more diverse on what you can offer to your clients as far as, when you do go back to the salons. And sometimes, you know, part of learning is getting critiques. So you can never be so full of yourself, so to speak, to not get a critique and make a positive out of it. So that's how I always looked at the critiques for the most part, as much as possible is, what's the positive? And the positive is it gives you the opportunity to evaluate where you're weak in and how you can get better and how to improve in a positive direction. And that's just, you know, really great in anything you do, whatever you decide to do. If you decide to do management, if you decide to, you know, do art or what have you. So this is just another art application, but with dog hair. And I also, in the 90s, early 90s, I started dabbling with the creative grooming as well. So in addition to all breed competition, I also did creative grooming. So my creative awards, I think I have about 11 right in there. But that was really fun, too, because that is, you know, you have a little more freedom to get really creative, really express, you know, the art within you that all groomers have somewhere. You know, that's why a lot of us get into this grooming is because it is so expressive and creative.
Okay, great. I was just thinking back now. At what time did you start then to become teaching, like at Hacienda La Puente? How did you say, okay, now I'm going to start teaching, which leads you even up then to today where you're at the Healthy Spot Academy? So how did that come about?
Well, that's a great question. Actually, I was in my competitive career at some point. I was with the same salon for like 18 years. And in that time, I think it was right around 1990 or so. It's hard to think back. Let me think. This is asking a lot.
Okay.
You know how the years fly by. But I think it was after I had made Groom Team, shortly after that, around 99. I ended up getting a tumor on my right shoulder, and I had to get it removed. And leading up to when it was removed, the 3 months prior to, it was during the holiday season, and it really affected me. And you know, 70s, 80s, groomers were paid commissions. That was the norm back then. And so because of this really affecting my right shoulder, and I'm right-handed, it really impacted my income. And even though the person I had been working for 18 years was very supportive, she was a great business owner, she gave bonuses and so forth, there was no medical benefit available. And again, that was very normal for independent salons, not having the ability to offer any kind of medical. And I had 4 kids, so I was like, well, at that time it was 3, I think. But either way, it impacted me so much. And then after the surgery, I couldn't groom. And I was like, okay, I have to think about my future. What if once I heal from this, something else happens? I need to make a move and make a move positively for myself health-wise and for my children, that I get a job that has benefits and 401k and things of that nature, so that if for some reason I couldn't work, I had an income still for my children. So at the time, my oldest was high school age, and she had been involved in 4-H and FFA and so forth, and I got really close to the ag teacher, and I started teaching the kids how to clip for show steer and dairy cattle and pigs and goats. So I know how to show groom those things too, surprisingly enough. So I started volunteering, as an instructional aide for an ROP program. And he was getting close to retirement, and I was thinking, gosh, this would be something that I really love. I love teaching, and, teachers get benefits, and they have 401k, and the health benefits for California teachers is really wonderful. So I decided I was going to apply for this position, and I had been in college previously, years and years way back when I was in my 20s. So in the process of thinking that and going back to school and getting my teaching credential, thinking that I was going for a small ag instructor or large livestock instructor, I contacted Marcia Hill, who was the Hacienda La Puente grooming instructor there for like 18 years, because that program had existed since the late 60s. And I knew her through the industry. She was an industry friend. When I first went into competition, she was one of the judges. So she was someone that was an industry icon back then and someone I looked up to. And I asked her to write me a letter of recommendation. And she said, "What are you doing?" And I says, "I'm going to need to get out of grooming. I've got to, you know, make sure my kids are taken care of. I have health benefits and so forth. So I like this teaching thing. So I'm getting my teaching credential. I'm going to college, and I'm thinking about doing this large livestock thing." And she said, "Oh, my gosh, honey, I'm going to be retiring. You would be perfect for this position. I'm going to write you a letter of recommendation, but I'm going to write you a letter of recommendation to take over my position when I retire." So I was like, "You're kidding. Oh, my God." So I was just so ecstatic that the timing was just right where this position opened up for me and, you know, that I was pursuing the teaching and getting the classes and doing all of that. So that's how I got to Hacienda La Puente. So I got my credential and started teaching there in 2000. And I taught there for 10 years, and it was wonderful. I built, and that's how I came to have a relationship with you, Stephen, if you remember. I think it was in shortly after that I contacted you because it was a very small program at the time. And I'm just one of those people that when I do something, I put 100% into it if I can. And most of the time I do 110% if you ask other people. But to me, it's 100%. And that was one thing I saw that, okay, I need to grow this because it was public. And in public education, if you don't have students in every seat every hour, you have the possibility that your program will be cut and you won't have a job next year because teachers are contracted year to year. And I wanted to make sure, again, that I had longevity and that I was going to have a position. And I didn't want that hanging over my head that I might not get a contract the following year. So that's when I contacted you. And you were so wonderful because, you know, that was really early, I think. Because when did you guys start PetGroomer.com?
In 97,
okay. So, yeah, I knew of PetGroomer.com, but, yeah, I knew nothing about technology. I'm not a technology person. And if you remember when I contacted you, I gave you the content and everything, and then you did just such a wonderful job designing the website for me. And that really made the because when I took over, I think we had 10 students, and once that website went up at PetGroomer.com, within a year and a half, I had a two-year waiting list, and then that stayed throughout until I think in 2009, there was a four-year waiting list to get into the program, and at that time, it had expanded where I had a bathing instructor, I had other staff as well, so I was the director. But unfortunately, in California in 2010, the budget crisis was astronomical, and the schools and education really got affected. And unfortunately, in 2010, a lot of adult eds were being closed down by the state, or the bigger adult eds, their programs were being cut. And so, unfortunately, my program was one of the programs that was cut. So that was very sad because I thought I would retire there. So then at that point, I had to, again, rethink what am I going to do? Where am I going to go from here? And again, find a company that would embrace what I had to bring to the table and also had a positive atmosphere, had a good respect for groomers and bathers, and also that would, you know, have the same kind of core values that I have as far as positive education and nurturing and compassion for the pet and safety, because I'm a safety nut. And that's when I found a Healthy Spot. So Healthy Spot, I had known because one of my graduates worked for them. And every time I saw her at the shows, she was so happy. And she just was so positive, and I was so happy for her. And she ultimately became an instructor for Healthy Spot for their internal program. But they had a successful internal training program who was developed and overseen by a gal named Patricia Sugihara. And Patricia as well was very knowledgeable. She won awards competing. But more than that, she always had the humane compassion towards pet grooming, and she's just such a good, sweet, compassionate, good-natured, beautiful person. And that's when I really started researching Healthy Spot and what they were all about, and just their mission and so forth. And it aligned perfectly with how I look at life and how I try and look at life, and how, you know, to always stay positive and strive to be better and make yourself better every day. And they have those same core values that are important to me. So it was a perfect, perfect fit. And they had so much respect. I was so impressed that the CEO, Andrew Kim, in the early years when they first developed Healthy Spot, he actually, Patricia worked with him because he wanted to learn the skills of the bathing and the drying and everything about it. And not a lot of business people want to do that. And
right.
he has such tremendous respect for how, you know, physically hard the bathing and the grooming can be, and also the spirit of what groomers are. And he wanted to, you know, after looking at the industry and meeting groomers and things like that, he wanted, and as well as Patricia, always strive to raise the standards of the industry and give groomers and bathers competitive wages because they work hard for their money. And the importance of continued education and inspiring someone in a positive way so that they stay passionate about the art of grooming. And that impressed me so much that I knew Healthy Spot was the right place for me.
And today you've become the lead instructor. That's great.
Yes, so I became the lead instructor. And so it was great. They already had a successful, like I said, internal program. And so it gave me the opportunity to work with the other grooming instructors. And, you know, we have ed meetings and we work all year to coordinate seminars, educational, continued education seminars for our staff, for our bathers and groomers to go to. And we also do those and we invite outside groomers and outside schools to also attend at a very low cost because we do want to, you know, raise the industry standards and also share how important continued knowledge and education is for all of us, and that it's important to stay inspired. It's important to stay passionate about what you love. And they, you know, it gives me the wonderful opportunity to be involved in all of that, as well as Healthy Spot competes at Super Zoo, and they compete at the Groom Expo with Barkley, and they've done that for 10 years now, but they with the bathers or groomers that want well groomers that want to compete, they support them by sponsoring them and paying their entry fees and finding dogs, even renting dogs for them, paying them while they compete. And I just have never heard of a company doing that before, investing that much in their people. And they, so they really, their core values, they really do them, which was just wonderful. And that gave me the opportunity to be the team coach, which I loved. So I get to work with all the groomers. We have 12 stores now. So I get to work with them independently sometimes. I work with the ed team. And so we just, we're always trying to get better and better because we think, you know, being positive and bettering yourself, evaluating yourself constantly on how you can get that much better day to day, week to week, year to year is something that's very important to us. And that led to wanting to develop an external training program, and which brought us to the Healthy Spot Academy. So because of my background at the state level of writing state curriculum and so forth, I wrote the curriculum and the instruction manuals along with our very knowledgeable experts. We have an expert in nutrition that trains all the retail personnel for nutrition. We have a expert trainer and so forth. So it's a collaboration of a lot of very knowledgeable trained people that help support writing these manuals. And so we have a wonderful manual for the bathing program, for the grooming program, and just the environment also is very state-of-the-art. The hydraulic tables in all of the salons, but in the academy, is something that was important because it really is. Originally, Healthy Spot was created to have a healthy spot for animals, but it's also very important that it's a healthy spot for people. So all the bathing tables are also hydraulic. Supporting them and educating them so that they have longevity in their careers is very important, and it's embedded throughout the curriculum because that, you know, that's really important to protect yourself because it is such a physical job, but there's ways to do it where you can have success. And so, for example, again, I started this in 1977, and I don't need carpal tunnel surgery. I've never needed carpal tunnel surgery, and I'm really happy about that.
Yeah.
But so that's important to us, and to teach, first and foremost, humane, compassion, grooming, and safety, the art and the quality of grooming and putting out a quality groom. Customer service is also embedded into the curriculum in our external program and especially in our internal program because that's so very important to be successful at bathing or at grooming and professionalism and so forth.
I want to remind our listeners who may not remember, this is in the Healthy Spot is in Southern California, more specifically Studio City. And if you don't know where Studio City is, because we do have listeners everywhere, that's in Southern California. That's essentially the Los Angeles there. So for career seekers who have an interest, do you have part-time and full-time programs? Can you give us some of the particulars of how you address the training programs?
Yes, absolutely. So we have four levels. So our first level is the certified bather level. And it's essentially if you come full-time, it's a four-week program. If you come part-time, which is a half day, is a 8-week program because it's going to take you double the amount of time. And with that, safety always comes first. They learn the safety, the handling, behavior, first aid, CPR, and it's a very full curriculum program, so they also have to learn health, science, anatomy, as well as the skills of bathing and drying. And the full-time is from 9 to 5, and part-time is 9 to, well, there's two part-time. You could do morning part-time or afternoon part-time. So morning part-time is from 9 to 1, and afternoon part-time is 1:30 to 5:30. And all four levels are basically that. You can enroll as full-time in the other three higher levels, and the class runs the same, 9 to 5, and then morning part-time 9 to 1, afternoon part-time 1:30 to 5:30. So the level 2 is the Certified Pet Groomer Program, and that is going to continue the skills that are necessary, the foundation skills to be successful at getting an entry-level position in the grooming industry. But you learn the essential basics of handling a clipper, doing the routine haircuts that most pet owners desire, and scissoring skills. Then the level 3 takes you up higher, and it's more advanced. In the Certified Pet Groomer level 2, the first grooming really program, you do learn the breed clips, but in the Certified Pet Groomer Advanced, you're learning a lot more of the scissoring, more advanced scissoring skills, thinning shear skills, hand stripping, and things of that nature. In all of the different levels, we always are, constantly having training that starts off with safety, and it's individualized for or pertaining to that speciality. So with pet grooming, the safety is a little more involved because you're using sharp things like scissors and clippers and so forth. But throughout the training, they're learning techniques that keep the pet very safe, and also occupational safety techniques that, again, keep them healthy and give them the skills they need to have longevity. Then the final level is our Certified Professional Stylist. That's our level 4. And that level, they're learning, in addition to, acquiring the skills at the earlier levels, they're building on more skills because they're going to be learning the hair dyeing, creative styles, hair extensions, and some of the more unique type applications that are available in today's industry that clients desire, especially out here in Southern California. We have clients that really want unique expressions on their pets. So Asian styling is taught at the different grooming levels, and different techniques of Asian styling or Asian fusion a lot of times is what it's referred to. And people so much these days, our clients, especially like I said, here in Southern California or the LA area, they want something really unique and thinking out of the box and making their pet really an extension of their own personality and their own individuality. And so we, in our Healthy Spot company as well as our academy, we really embrace diversity of people and their freedom to express that through their dog, because dogs are really so much a family member nowadays. It's not like in the 70s where they were dogs. And we have a great admiration and respect for that, because people that really view their animal that way are just going to love them that much more and give that dog the very best that they can or that they are knowledgeable with. So in the Healthy Spot salons, as well as in our program, you're taught about, you know, how to sell yourself, talking with the client, understanding the client's needs, and, you know, that if they have a weird, say, a desire to achieve on their pet's hair or with the hairstyle, it's not like back in the 70s where someone came in and they wanted something weird. Sometimes a groomer would look at it like, well, it's a schnauzer. It's supposed to look like a schnauzer. What are you talking about? And, oh, I don't want that thing going out my door because I'm embarrassed because it looks like a freak now because the client wanted it this way. We can't think of it that way anymore. We really have to think of it as, you know, the more unique and individualized the owner wants their dog to be, really the more love that they're giving that dog and more attention and so forth. And if this style, even though it's weird or out of the box, helps that happen, then it's a good thing. It's a positive thing. So we teach you the skills to make these creative styles, these Asian fusion styles or unique styles such as Mohawks. We get a lot of requests for Mohawks in LA. But we teach you how to have fun with it and, you know, and to do it safely so it doesn't interfere with the dog being a dog or having a healthy lifestyle as well. So with the hair dyeing that we do, we only use vegetable products. We don't use any of the chemical products at all. They're all specifically designed to use on dogs. And hair dyeing isn't for everyone, neither is hair extensions, but that's one of the fun levels, the highest level, the certified professional stylist, which is the level 4. That's what makes that class unique and fun, because you do learn those kinds of skills.
So our hour is running by here. We need to, I think what you've described, it's very interesting because I didn't know all. It's a very rounded and expanded training there. I'm very pleased with what I'm hearing. Why don't we tell people how they can learn more? Which website should they go to learn about the academy?
The best way is go to the www.healthyspotacademy.com. And if they go onto the website, they can see the different levels. They can see pictures of the inside of the school where they will be training. There is, for inquiries, they can just fill out. It's all automated on the web. They can just fill out the form there. And then one of our specialists will be contacting them. There's also, and they'll navigate them through doing the application that they can submit online. And once the application process occurs, then we would be scheduling an interview and giving a tour. And I know our hour's up, but I just wanted to say real quickly, a lot of times when people are looking for a grooming education and they're looking for a school, I just wanted to touch on a few things of what they should be looking for. So really, you know, there's some schools that are accredited, some schools are non-accredited. And I taught in an accredited school for 10 years that was public. Most of the private schools that are out there are non-accredited. However, there are a few that are accredited, but I want people to understand that accredited or non-accredited doesn't necessarily tell you how good the program is. So you can't just think, oh, well, it's not accredited. It must not be good. I know some very, very good programs that are non-accredited. So when someone's looking for school, really they want to see, you know, can the school provide them with a curriculum? And that's very important. You want to know that there's a structure and a path at which they're going to train you. And will they let you view the training manual? And more importantly, especially with the hands-on training, what is this instructor's qualification? Is the instructor certified? Did they go and get certification? And then someone that goes out to get certification is putting themselves against a measurement for one of the accreditations out there. So, for example, there's IPG, or International Professional Groomers. That's where I got my certified master groomer through. There's the Society of Canine Cosmetology. They also do certification. There are National Dog Groomers Association. They do certification. But a groomer that has gone to those lengths to let themselves be graded and evaluated for some sort of certification, it's something that you'd want to look for as a student looking for a trainer. Are they CPR and certified for pet safety? That's very important as well. And then are they available to give you a tour of the site where you're going to be doing the hands-on training? And that's really important. They should be open to giving you a tour. And you want to look for, is it modern facilities? Is it clean? Is there hydraulic tables? But more importantly, is it a positive environment? Look at the other students around. Do they look like they're happy? If it's in a place where you're getting real-world experience, which is a positive thing, and it can help training go much faster, are the other people that are there, perhaps staff members, are they in, you know, do they seem positive? Is it a happy, positive environment? You know, when you're learning, you need something that your education is going to be positive and it's going to be in a good, happy environment, because then you're going to learn at a much faster rate. It makes it more enjoyable. And as adults, our time is very precious. So we want to make forward progress as quickly as possible, but also that it's safe and it's taught by someone, a caring individual who has the training behind them and some sort of certification to prove to you that this person is knowledgeable, and so forth. And see if they'll let you watch them teach for a little bit. Because, you know, I know some very good groomers out there that aren't such great teachers. So not all great groomers are good teachers. And there's some great groomers that are good teachers. And there's some groomers that are not, like, great. Maybe they don't have awards, but that's not necessary. If they're a good groomer and they have wonderful teaching skills, they don't necessarily have to have a ton of awards. You know, so you don't always want to look for, oh, did they go into grooming competitions and do they have 60 awards or 50 awards or whatever it is. You want to look at other things as well.
Okay, Donna.
So thank you, Stephen.
I'm so glad we finally got this together. You've raised some great, and I do encourage everyone. I'm going to give the website again for you. It's all one word, healthyspotacademy.com. If for any reason you forget that, Healthy Spot Academy is a sponsor of PetGroomer.com. Just go to our home page, just about any page of PetGroomer.com. On the right side today, we'll list the sponsors and you'll go, oh, there it is. The Healthy Spot Academy is listed there. You did a good job, and I really appreciate you being with us, and perhaps we'll have you on again.
Real quick, I just wanted to add at the Groom Expo
uh-huh.
West,
yes.
With Barkley Productions, we will have a booth there. If anyone wants to stop by, we'll be happy to talk to you.
Right. That's coming up pretty soon. That's great.
Yes.
All right.
4 more weeks.
So,
all right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dawn. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye now.